So we may be live on Facebook right now. I'm not real sure. And if we are, I'll address those people real quick, like, because if we lose you on Facebook, please go to our website. We do tape our sermons and our Sunday worship and put it on our website so you can listen to it there. If we lose you on Facebook, sorry. If we don't lose you on Facebook, I am not Anthony Clore. I am Corbin Flynn. Anthony is not with us today. Please don't hold that against our church. So if you've never been on Facebook and heard Fork Union Baptist Church message, and this is your first time, please tune in again next week when our pastor is back, and don't use this one time that you happen to listen and gauge it on how our church handles worship service, because God made me a little bit different than He made other people, but that's okay. I am not a pastor. I am not a preacher. I'm just a normal, run-of-the-mill sinner like the rest of you guys out there, whether you realize it or not. And with that being said, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll see where we go from there. Bow your heads, please. Dear Lord, thank You so much for giving me an opportunity to come and share with my brothers and sisters in Christ here at Fork Union Baptist Church. You've stirred my heart throughout the week. You've magnified what it is that our pastor goes through on a weekly basis. I told him earlier in the week that that is a blessing, because you got to come up here on Sunday and deliver a message, and so it makes you think, and brings me closer to You, Lord. I thank You for that. I thank You for drawing me in over the last week, and I just ask that You speak through me, that You get Corbin Flynn out of the way, and whatever it is that You'd like to pass on to these fine folks here at Fork Union Baptist Church and potentially beyond, that You'd share it through me. And it's certainly my time with You this past week has been an impression on me. And if it can be an impression on just one person out there, the blessing and the glory all goes to You, God. Thank You, thank You, thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. So, I got that. I don't have a thing to check that off the list. Prayer. So, my sermon topic, I had to come up with something, is this for the week. Other than love, what is one of the most important keys to a good relationship? What's one of the most important keys to a good relationship? When I was thinking about this over the course of the last week, I mean, I had different ideas and thought about it and jotted down some notes and whatnot. And I thought to myself, you know, Anthony says, preach the word, preach from the Bible. He's been preaching from Matthew. I thought, well, maybe I won't do anything from Matthew. I'll just use the rest of the Bible, you know, start in Genesis, maybe end in Revelation, and we'll get out of here by lunchtime. Anyway, it really stirred me a lot throughout the course of the week, and I came up with a lot of different scripture, but the one I wanted to share with you as the emphasis is from 1 John. If you want, you're welcome to go to your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. I will read through those. I think I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I just printed off and made it a little bit bigger for me to be able to see. The emphasis on Scripture, period. Scripture is God-breathed, so anytime you read Scripture or it's read out loud to you, it can be some kind of powerful. The first 7 through 11 or 12 or 13 is what stuck out at me, but I wanted to share this entire passage with you. So, if you're there, 1 John 4:7 through 21. My Bible had loving one another as a title. Everybody with me? Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That one really jumped out at me. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Verse 9. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Not one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God, all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God, have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Sort of a tongue twister there. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face with Him, we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God, whom we cannot see? And He has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. We could just stop right there. Go home early, right? But then Anthony might give me a hard time, so I won't do that. Throughout the week and talking about relationships, God wants a relationship with us. If you have read the Bible at all, that should jump off the pages at you. God wants a relationship with us, and He wants us to have a relationship with each other. I will go to Matthew. Sorry, Anthony. Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, the scripture says what? Love God and love your neighbor. I know in this scripture here it says love believers. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. Let all God's word sink into you as you read it. One way to have a relationship, if you don't have a relationship with God, is right there, His Word. That right there, if you don't have a relationship with God, this is a good place to start. It will not steer you wrong. Don't trust me, trust God in that. So, if we're supposed to love God and love our neighbor, We'll sort of do class participation here. How do you spell love? Anybody?
L-O-V-E.
Okay, that's good. Hopefully they heard you guys out there on Facebook. I even thought about, like, beforehand, getting you guys to say hallelujah and amen throughout the course of today's sermon, you know, just to sort of stir it up a little bit. But anyway, I didn't write any of that down. L-O-V-E. Is there another way to spell love?
L-U-V.
Anybody else? I spell it T-I-M-E. Time. It's hard to love someone without spending time with that someone. Now, God has all the time in the world. He's available to us all the time. So I talked with Brother Dwayne this past week. We were talking about something different, but we were talking about heaven, and he said something about, I believe it was, God is so powerful that when we're in heaven, he could spend time with us and spend time with everybody else individually. That's how powerful of a God we have. That powerful God exists now, not just in heaven. In order to have a relationship with God, you got to spend time with Him. Okay? Some point in time throughout the course of this week, evaluate yourself. Where do you spend your time? What do you spend your time on? And I say that, this is me too, folks. This sermon or message, I'll call it a message, it's far from a sermon. But this message spoke to me throughout the week, and hopefully it will help me in the weeks to come. But where does Corvin Flynn spend his time? What is it that you spend your time doing most? Take sleep out of it. Okay? What is it that you do with your time? Because you know what? That's where your love is. That's where your love is. That's where my love is. Do I spend time with God? Do I spend time with Jesus? The man who came and died on a cross to save me. Do I spend time with Him? How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. Think about that. Okay? Let me go to my notes here because I'll get sidetracked. Okay. Talking about God and love and time. We're talking, God wants a relationship with us. Now, we're talking about the God. And when I say the God, let me make sure everybody understands this. There is only one God. Okay? Some people will say the same God, the God, or something like that. And I'll say that as I'm going along. But there is only one God. The God. The God that wants everybody to have a relationship with Him. That's biblical. I don't have the Bible verse written down, but you guys look it up this week as you're spending time with God. We're talking about the God who created the universe, the God who put each star in the sky, the God who gave you breath to be able to breathe this morning, the God who saved the three from the fiery furnace, the God who parted the Red Sea, the same God, you guys probably won't get this, but a couple of you will, the same God who protected a campsite from getting washed out this weekend. That God wants a relationship with me. That God wants a relationship with you. You got to spend time in that relationship. What's it take in a relationship? God gave us one mouth and two ears for talking and hearing, listening. In the Bible, if you look it up, that's if Google is halfway right. Numerous times, over 100 times, does it mention the word hearing and listening in the Bible. Can you, she's not here, because I asked her around a campfire one night and she said amen to me. Can you hear somebody and not listen to them? That's a question. It's okay. Nod your head. Yes. Okay. Have you ever told your kid to take the trash out and your kid heard you, but he didn't or she didn't listen and take the trash out? Okay. My mom's here today and my daughter. Hey, mom and daughter. I asked my mom, and I asked Dwayne, and I asked Lisa, and I asked Anthony. I said I wasn't sure if I was going to use this in my message this week, but I said, we'll go all the way back to Genesis, Adam and Eve. Okay? Take time this week to read about God's creation, and then the first three chapters of Genesis. So what did God tell Adam? Now, I asked those people that I mentioned what their thoughts were on the scripture. And most of us believe, it's debatable maybe, most of us believe that God told Adam to not eat from the tree. Right?
Yes.
Eve came along later on, so Adam must have told Eve not to eat from the tree. I might be wrong, and that's okay. I don't mind being wrong. But anyway, just for the sake of argument, God said, Adam, don't eat from the tree. Surely Adam heard. But did he listen? He heard, but did he listen? Adam, assuming that he told Eve, don't eat from the tree, Eve. Eve heard him. But she didn't listen. Yeah, that's the way it happened. Either way, neither one of them listened. They did listen to somebody. The serpent. The serpent came along and convinced Eve. We sort of thought about the fact that Adam probably sat right there and watched it all happen. Whole men's ministry thing there, being passive and whatnot. Just a little plug for you there. So they heard, but they didn't listen. Thanks a lot, Adam and Eve. You know, talk about a relationship. If you read on in there, God was walking along, and what were they doing? They were hiding. They heard God. Now, I might be wrong, and that's okay. God was hanging out in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They had, what kind of better relationship could you have than them spending time together, hanging out in the, you know, if you read that, that's what that says to me, that God spent time and had a relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden because they hid, they were scared, they heard his voice and whatnot. And here we are today. Again, thank you, Adam and Eve. That's a head scratcher for me, you know, but that's okay, because as I said in the beginning, I'm a sinner too. We all fall short of the glory of God. But he sent his son to save us. He sent his son to have a relationship with us. Okay, let's see. My notes say read Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then it's got an exclamation point after this. "Listen to him." God himself said, "This is my son, Jesus. Listen to him." Okay? So that's part of a relationship. We all got that down pretty well, though, in today's time, don't we? I mean, back then, they didn't have walkie-talkies, telephones. All they could do is talk to each other and then pray. Certainly a very valuable thing to be able to communicate with God. And I just gave it away a little bit. What's the key to a good relationship? Communication. That's my opinion. Businesses fail. Marriages fail. Brothers and sisters fight. Church members don't get along because we find ourselves not communicating well. But it's so easy. We got cell phones, smartphones, text messages, emails, voicemails. We got it down right? We know how to communicate. Everybody, look, I don't think they can see you out there. If you're the best communicator, if you're perfect at communicating, raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I thought. We fail to communicate. We not only fail to communicate with God by spending time with Him, but we fail to communicate with each other. Communicating is not sending somebody a text and then 30 seconds later, man, they haven't texted me back yet. I know they read my text. I can see where they read it. They haven't texted me back yet. And then when you do get it, you don't understand exactly what it is they're saying. You know, and so then you get aggravated and whatnot. Communicating is not coming to church and sitting down in a pew and then going home after church and say, "Well, so-and-so saw me and didn't even come up and say hi to me. I can't believe that." Communication is the key to any relationship. Without communication between me and God, between you and God, you're not going to have a very good relationship with Him. Now, God's a forgiving God. There's no question about it. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as I understand it, if you believe in your heart, you are saved. You will spend eternity in heaven. But if that's it, if that's all you do, you are going to live a miserable Christian life. God doesn't want us to live a miserable Christian life. He wants us to be full of joy and peace. If we will spend time with God, praying, reading His Word, we will grow in our relationship with Him. And no matter what this world throws at us, no matter what happens, the closer we are to Him, the better your life will be here on this earth. But then, what does it say? Love God and then love your neighbor. Communication. Now, this is where I pulled some stuff out. Communication. Does it come from facial expressions? Yeah. We know, hey, husbands out there, if your wife looks at you a certain way, is she communicating? Now, wives would argue that us husbands just got a blank look on our face, you know, so we really don't know what they're thinking half the time. But communicating with your facial expressions, how you act, how you treat somebody, what you do for somebody, all those are forms of communication. There's good and bad. There's good listening, as in Abraham listening to God versus Eve listening to the devil. Okay? So it's not just listening and hearing. I think it all comes back to the heart. Okay? Communicating what you do, how you treat people, how you spend your time, that comes from the heart. The heart doesn't lie. How you act comes from the heart. So what is it that you've got to have in order to have a heart that will communicate well with God and others? You can answer that question. Anybody? No? Everybody left out there. Facebook, it's just you and me. You got to have Jesus in your heart, folks. The Spirit of God changes our heart. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the key to Christian communication. We cannot communicate as Christians without a heart transplant. And the Spirit of God is the one who performs that surgery. The Spirit changes the condition and disposition of the heart, resulting in godly communication. Christian communication is produced by the Spirit and is motivated by love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These attributes describe the work of the Spirit and the way in which Christ Himself communicated. In order for our communication to be Christian, it must resemble communication of Christ Himself. How did Christ go about communicating when He was here, when He walked this earth? One of the things He did was He prayed. He prayed a lot. Prayed early in the morning, went off to Himself and prayed. If we don't pray, if we don't have a good relationship with God, we're going to have a difficult time having a relationship with others. I truly believe that. Yeah, people can go throughout the world and not be a believer. You know, that's between them and God. But to me, that scripture back in John basically says, if you don't know God, if you don't love God, then you can't love others. That's a hard one to put a twist around. You run into somebody that says, well, I love my son, but there ain't no God. They probably don't know what true, real love is. That's a shame. That's where we come in. Us believers, we're supposed to go out and share this message with others in hopes that we might plant a seed that God will water. It's not up to us to change people. Okay? They have a choice, just like we have a choice. Life's all about choices. I say that often. My daughter being here, I'm going to bring her out again. She probably thinks, Dad says he ain't a preacher, but all he's ever done his whole life is preach to me. So, the word pray, I read a devotion, and I don't know how long this is going. I apologize if we're getting into the 1 o'clock hour. I'm getting close to the end for whatever it's worth. Pray. P-R-A-Y. Praise God first. So when you go to pray, it doesn't hurt to say, Almighty God. Don't go to God and say, God, man, I need this, I need this, I need this. Thank you, bye. I'm going to work. Spend time praising the Creator of everything. Then R, repent. God, please forgive me for being a sinner. Please forgive me for what I did yesterday. Please forgive me for what I'm probably going to do this afternoon. A, then you can ask. Ask God for what it is that's on your heart. If it's His will, in His time, He'll answer that prayer. Why? What do you think why is? Yield. Somebody did the... Did you do the devotion with me? The pray devotion? Pointing at you. You can speak up. Karen Bowles, she won't say hi. Okay. Yield. Yield. I'd never seen that as an acronym before. Take time to be quiet. Let God talk back to you. Listen. Be quiet. Yield. What else did Jesus do? Jesus communicated the truth. Jesus not only spoke the truth, but He is the truth. We need to be honest in our communicating with people. What else? He showed compassion and love. Even to those that didn't care for Him. He got after the Pharisees, but He did it out of love. He even showed compassion to those that were crucifying Him. Compassion and love. Jesus communicated, mouth's getting a little dry. I do have some water here. If Eva Striblin's watching, I'm drinking out of a cup that she destroyed. That's something most of y'all won't get either. But Jesus communicated with humility. He was humble. I mean, He was God, and yet He washed the disciples' feet. Humble yourself. Humble ourselves. Don't walk around pride. That's the, pride will keep us from staying close to God. God doesn't care for somebody who's all prideful, walks around with their chest stuck out, beating themselves. Look at me. I did this. I did this. I can do this. We need to humble ourselves, just like Christ did. I'm going to be getting close to finishing up. I'm going to finish with reading some more scripture. Philippians 2:1-11. Philippians 2:1-11. I figure you can't go wrong. So I started with Scripture. I'm going to end pretty much with Scripture. Everything in between you can forget about. If nothing else, listen to the Scripture. Okay? Philippians 2. My heading in my Bible said, imitating Christ's humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. That's a tough one. Value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. If your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Before we close in our song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, if we're still live on Facebook and you've heard this message and you don't have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can do that right now today. You can accept Him in your heart. Just ask Him to come in. Tell Him that you believe in Him. Repent of your sins. And start your journey with other fellow believers. If you leave here today, those of you in the sanctuary, and you think, hey, I need to maybe evaluate my relationship with God and evaluate my relationship with others. How is it I'm spending my time? You can think about that where you're sitting. You can pray about that where you're sitting. You can come up front. I'd be happy to pray with you. If you have something on your mind or something on your heart, don't let time slip away from you, because we're not promised tomorrow. Okay? If by chance somebody here has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I think that you ought to spend a little time thinking about that. No better time than the present. Just a Closer Walk with Thee, my favorite song. It's actually a prayer if you think about it. Just a closer walk with Thee, granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Work on that relationship with God. Work on that relationship with each other. And you will live a happy and joyful life.